Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this 4th of July weekend. Here it is, the beginning of what I would call summer itself. Obviously, we've already had summer start back in June, but it is a 4th of July weekend where so many things are going on, and we'll touch base more about that. But just again, thank you for being a part of us, listening to KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio this morning. Maybe you are traveling somewhere or headed to a picnic or just headed to an outing. We want to thank you for listening and being a part of Vital Ministries. And you can always go to our vitalministries.org website and check out the different things and the locations and the stuff that we have just going on. So I encourage you to do that as well. Also, too, many of you are on your way to church this morning. I want to thank you for listening and being part of this 4th of July weekend. And I pray as you go that you, again, I'm just going to encourage you to be just praiseful just for the freedoms that we have. And that you have a good day in church this morning. So thank you for listening. Also, to those of you who are outside listening today, maybe you're sitting in a boat listening, or maybe you're at home, got your ear close to the radio, or sitting in your car, we just want to thank you for being part of Vital Ministries and being part of our Sunday morning. And just want to thank you. But before we get started, I just want to encourage you, we got some really good stuff coming up. We have our next Vital Gathering on July 10th at Debbie's Celebration Barn from 5 to 7. Now, this is an all-family event. This is not just for men. It's all family events. So I just want to encourage you to go to that. Again, that's at Debbie's Celebration Barn right here in Oskaloosa from 5 to 7. I want to make sure that you come hungry because we always serve food while we're there. And you can come and eat with us. And we're just looking forward to that. Also, too, we have the Vital Ministries Worship Band will be with us as well. We'll be singing praise and worship songs as we get ready to hear the Word of God. I've got a special teaching that we're going to talk about as far as healing. And then we also too got a man by the name of Alec Parkinson's that's going to be with us as well. And he is gifted in healing. And we're looking forward to hearing what he has to say. And also, most of all, that possibly that God will use him especially in a mighty way, and the Holy Spirit will be upon him. And he will use him as some healing. And just don't want to miss that night. Again, that's July 10th. Also, too, we just had our Vital Bikers motorcycle trip last weekend. We had a wonderful drive as we went out on our bikes. We were up in the La Crosse, Wisconsin area. Just had a wonderful time. And I just want to give a big shout out to a couple of men on that ride, especially Dave Slater. He led us. He did such a wonderful job. And I just want to thank him for his leadership and just taking taking the front lead. And that takes for a lot of responsibility to do that. And just thank you so much. And also, too, I got to say a big shout out to my good friend Steve. I had not Steve let me use his motorcycle, I would have been in a pickup or not able to go. And I just want to say, Steve, thank you for allowing me to ride your bike. And what a great friend that does such a thing as that. So again, thank you for our Vital Biker ride. It was a good one. We will be doing it again next year in June, and looking forward to that. So it's just a special time. Also, too, just want to remind you that we send out devotionals 6 days a week, both on Vital Men and also, too, in Vital Life. My wife writes for Vital Life. It's just a nugget that you get. It just she's a wonderful writer and very in thought. Thought-provoking, and gifted through the Holy Spirit speaking through her. And then for Vital Men, it's directly for men. We have five guys that send out devotionals 5 days a week. And it's just an encouragement to see so many different things that are going on. So I just want to thank those guys for doing what they do for Vital Men, and also too for our devotional page as well. So again, those are another way that you can be in touch with that. But again, let's get started this morning. And yes, without a doubt, it's the 4th of July weekend. You will find many people out there doing anything from camping to boating to have an outdoor barbecue, and don't forget those parades. I think this is the first year my dad hasn't driven one of his red tractors in a 4th of July parade. My dad and I will we'll be driving a tractor with a weekend of July 15th and 16th with the Red Rock Thrashers, a tractor club, riding and tractors in that area. And I look forward to that and that time with my dad. Just a great time to get on a tractor and see the landscape and the countryside. Also, too, much of America is still traveling, even though fuel prices are averaging anywhere from $4.50 to $7 for a gallon of gas. And as Eric Church sings a song, he says it this way: we are having a record year. And isn't that the case with fuel prices and many, many other things that are just continually to rise and complicate life itself for us in our nation and also to around the world. But before we get into today's teaching, I want to say a thank you to the 56 who believed and stood for the cause of freedom, the signers of the Declaration of Independence. And with their signature, many of them, those men, paid a significant price. It says that five of those men were captured and tortured as traitors. Nine fought and died in the American Revolution. Four of those men lost their sons while fighting for the Continental Army. And over 12 of those men lost their homes, were ransacked, or actually burned to the ground. Of those 56 signers, those men were men who were lawyers, store merchants, farmers, teachers. One was a surveyor, and one was a printer, which was Benjamin Franklin. All those men knew without a doubt what would happen if they were caught by the British, that they would be deemed a traitor to the crown. Yet they signed a Declaration of Independence believing in a new nation, that it would be birthed and the nation would have significance in the world. It would be soon called later in that time, from that day they signed that Declaration of Independence, is becoming the United States of America. I don't know about you folks, but this morning, just thinking about that gives me goosebumps. And the thought, today, I still value and uphold the Declaration of Independence. We all do as a nation. No president, party, or group of individuals can take it away for such a time as this. I believe in the Constitution and that God is sovereign and He is the high God over the land, that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, and that the Holy Spirit still speaks truth to the hearts of man. These next 2 weeks, we're going to look into something that I feel like the Holy Spirit is moving us. We're going to be looking into healings that Jesus did during His ministry. It's said in the Bible that it is recorded that Jesus did at least 37 miraculous signs or healings, from turning water into wine to catching fish. Jesus also loved on people, and He did that by healing them. Not only did He physically heal people, but He cast out demons and raised people from the dead. Jesus, He also, without a doubt, you know, He lived over 2,000 years ago, but people back then still wanted to hear, and we still do even today. We live in a generation that cries out for healing, both physically, spiritually, and mentally. We actually live in a time in which our nation is in need of healing racially, economically, and even more so spiritually. Isn't that the truth, folks? So let's get started this morning. Maybe you're at home and you got your Bibles open. We're going to go into the book of John, John chapter 4, looking at verses 43 through 54, and look at Jesus' first healing in which His ministry first began. So let's get a glimpse this morning of how Jesus demonstrated His authority of healing in order for the people of Israel to follow Him. The first person that Jesus healed was an official's son. So let's jump in this morning. If you're writing down my points today, point number one is this: moved from a carpenter's son to a higher calling. So let's go to John chapter 4, starting with verse 43 through 47. And this is what the Bible says. It says, at the end of the 2 days, Jesus went on to Galilee. He Himself had said that a prophet is not honored in his own hometown. Yet the Galileans welcomed Him, for they had been in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration and had seen everything that He did. As He traveled to Galilee, He came to the Cana, where He turned the water into wine, and there was a government official nearby, Capernaum, whose son was very sick. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son, who was about to die. Now that's where we're going to begin this morning. But have you ever read a portion of scripture or a verse in the Bible that you've read it before, but somehow or another, you had read it, and all of a sudden, it turned on a different light. It made significance as you read it. I want to reread this morning, 43 and 45, because this is a portion of the scripture this morning that really struck me about what Jesus did. And I think it's going to help us today get a little bit of clarity as we move on, starting with verse 43. It says, at the end of the 2 days, Jesus went to Galilee. He himself had said that a prophet is not honored in his hometown. Now I got that, but here's something that jumped out at me. Yet the Galileans welcomed him, for they had been in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration and had seen everything that Jesus had done. Now, here's something that's interesting. If you noticed earlier that Jesus had earlier stated that a prophet is not honored in his own hometown. But since the Passover celebration in Jerusalem, Jesus did mighty works there, and he had moved his kinfolk in his religion to look at him in a different light. Now, I think that's significant. As we're seeing that those folks there, they before they just saw Jesus one way, but now they see him differently. See, I've tried in Oskaloosa. I've lived in Oskaloosa most of my entire life. People know me as Mike the Carpenter, the son of Phil and Carolyn Sarig. They saw me grow up. They know you're good and the bad in your small communities, don't they? You're chinks in your armor. Yet everyone has a track record. And if you stay in a particular community for a period of time, without a doubt, people know and see your life and the credibility of your life and especially the character of your life. Now, I now live in a small farm north of New Sharon. I just moved there a little over a year ago, but I'm about 20 miles northeast of Oskaloosa. People know that I'm a carpenter there in that area, but their perspective is different. I still live, without a doubt, in Mahaska County, but I'm viewed in a different light in the place that I live. And to be honest with you, it's a little easier to move and to navigate and less restriction as people will put what I call walls or put things around you of who you are. See, Jesus wasn't just viewed any longer, as we read of what we just read in the Bible this morning, viewed as simply as Joseph and Mary's son, but rather that he had anointing from God, that possibly he was even sent by God. He spoke to people as to speaking at people. He taught people that the law didn't bind them, but rather it freed them. No one could live up to it. Without a doubt, that's why the law was written and that God knew it. And that's why he sent his son. And that's why grace was brought into the world through his son, Jesus Christ. And in doing so, it opened up the eyes of the people who lived in Galilee, which is in the region in which Jesus grew up. So it kind of makes a lot of sense exactly what's going on during that period of time. That is why I believe that the first healing was so significant. Jesus returned back to Cana, in which a government official had a son who was very sick. It says that the official had heard about Jesus. He'd heard about the miraculous things he had done and that he was coming back to Cana. He was without a doubt, he was a healer. He had performed miracles. The first miracle that Jesus did was changing water into wine, but he needed his son to be healed. It was a do or die situation for the official. It said that the man literally begged Jesus to heal his son. He wanted him to leave Cana and go to Capernaum, which was about a 16 and a half mile journey. And it was along the Sea of Galilee. See, folks, I've been there to both Cana and Capernaum in Israel, small Israeli communities. But you can hear the desperation this morning in the words in the Bible of the official. It states that he begged Jesus. He begged that my son is sick, even to the point of death. There's no greater plea from a parent for a child's life. Many people today, in the very sound of my voice, have lost children, and the tragedy of that have lost lives has always been with them and the loss of that child. I've seen grown men cry from losing a life of a child when that child had passed away several years ago. I've had people come up and ask me, why would God do such a thing to a young life? And I think it's a good question. I've heard pastors saddenly beat up people in their congregation and said it was because of their sin, and that the family member carried it, and the guilt of, and that family carried that guilt of what they might have done in order for that child to live. What I've learned and read in the Bible, that God gives and He takes away. That life is a mystery and we live under the curse of death. Yet someday, folks, all things will be made right. That's what gives us hope. I believe that Jesus is God and is sovereign and that He loves His creation. I hope that this brings healing to you, even to those of you who have lost a loved one this morning, by the very words that I've spoken and the words that God, that Jesus Himself said. I've read that Jesus knows every pain. And He also knew without a doubt the pain that was carried by the official. But let's look at what's next, or what Jesus does in the midst of that moment, which brings us to point number two. The man has confident faith. And let's look at that confident faith in verses 49 through 50. So you're back at John chapter 4 this morning, if you're at home, and we're going to read that. And this is what it says, starting with verse 48. Jesus asked, "Will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders?" The official pleaded, "Lord, please come now before my little boy dies." And then Jesus, well, let's hold on to that. Let's stop right there. Let's go to 50. Excuse me. I do want to read that. Excuse me. It says, "Then Jesus told him, 'Go back home, your son will live.' And the man believed what Jesus said and started back for home." See, Jesus begins His response with the question, "Will you never believe unless you see the miraculous?" Even one of His disciples by the name of Thomas, the disciple, struggled with that very fact. And he walked with Jesus and he saw that Jesus' miracles that He'd done. He walked with Him 3 years. But how could Jesus return? But the thing that Thomas struggled with is how could Jesus could return from the grave? He believed and saw Lazarus come from the grave, but yet he couldn't believe that the Son of God Himself could return. We all have struggles, don't we, with what we can't see, and we want proof. We want to see the miraculous now and not wait for the miracle. My Bible says the official pleaded again, "Please come now. It's urgent. If you don't, my son will die." You know, I think people want their miraculous from God to reverse in the direction in which, in my mind, even today, as we talked about the July the 4th and we celebrate that, but they want the reversal of what's going on even in our nation and that it's headed. That instead of trusting God that He will do His work, we want the miraculous now. But folks, I believe that God is still at work, and it's important for us to trust in the work that He does. I believe unless a nation pursues God, it simply becomes a pagan nation, and God and the God of that day rules, as opposed to the God who is above all things, who is in heaven, God the Father. The course of change in our nation for its healing will take very important component parts. It will take repentance, it will take prayer, and most of all, folks, it will take faith. Our nation is like the official son. It's dying. We have significant bad leadership, and leadership all the way to the top, who simply want nothing more than to gain in their wealth, to be even more greedy than they already are, and the power, and to control the masses. That's sad when you think about that. That was without a doubt not the vision that I believe that our forefathers, the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. Yes, folks, we need a healing. We need to get before God and ask Him to heal our land, forgive us of our sins, and draw back to Him. Our forefathers believed in one God and one nation, and believed in God the Father. not a Muslim God, not an Islam God, or not any other pagan God. It will take confident faith, like the official's plea, to change a nation. It says in the Bible that Jesus told the man, go back home. Your son lives. It says that the man believed and he started home. You know, maybe today you're asking Jesus for that word of healing, that word of encouragement, that word that is confirming in your very faith. I encourage you, don't be afraid to make the ask, plead for it, cry out for it. Our Lord hears your cries today. Jesus, folks, he cares about you. And most of all, he loves you. And I hope if you don't get anything this morning of what I'm saying, please hear these words. Because it takes us to point number three, everyone believed. And let's go on and let's continue our story with starting with verse 51. It says, while the man was on his way, some of his servants met him with the news that his son was alive and well. He asked them, when was the boy, had the boy begin to get better? And they replied, yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock. His fever suddenly disappeared. Then the father realized that that was the very time that Jesus had spoken, had told him, your son will live. And he and his entire household believed in Jesus. This was the second miraculous sign Jesus did in Galilee after coming from Judea. See, this man, he's headed back home and he's believing by what he cannot see, unseen faith, that his son would be healed. Can you imagine how that walk must have been from Cana to Capernaum, a 16 and a half track? It's like going from, in our region, from Oskaloosa to walking to Pella, believing in what you cannot see. It's like a farmer who plants his seed every spring. He works the ground, he fertilizes the soil, puts the tile in and makes the terraces in all hopes of the seed that he plants will grow. See, folks, this is the first year that we've had corn on our property, and it's the second year living in the very small farm in which we are today, and I'm amazed at all the work our local farmers do. You can tell that they love it or they wouldn't do it. It's risky. It takes blind faith, and at times, it's more than you can possibly do without faith in God himself. Prayers for the rain, praying for the sun, and praying that the seed you plant will germinate and that it will grow. That's what farmers do. See, last week, I love her. She's a good woman. Her name is Miss Diane. She stopped by and brought my wife some bright purple flowers. It was And she also, too, I love Miss Diane. She corrected me because I had told folks that she was over at Deep River. And she was actually, she sells flowers over in Searsboro. And she wanted to make sure of that because she misses the people that comes. But Miss Diane, you'll see that you don't have to be around her too long before she tells you how she loves her farm, how she loves her animals, and how she takes care of them. She said something to me as she got ready to leave that struck something inside of me. She said, Mike, you can really see a long ways from your farm. As I stood back after she left, and I thought to myself, she's absolutely right. I'm grateful for our small farm and the faith we have in knowing that God has entrusted us with that part of land in which we live for such a season as this. You know, someday, folks, I will pass away and someone else will control the land. But until then, this is my time. And I'm thankful for that. See, you see, folks, the man's servants, as he was coming, he came and met him with the news. Your son is alive and well. And immediately, the man asked, what was the time? When did it happen? They said, it happened at 1 o'clock yesterday, your son's fever broke. And the man thought it was the same time that Jesus spoke and said that his son would live. The Bible says that that day that the entire household gave their lives to Jesus, all because of the miracle that not only that Jesus spoke, but they witnessed and saw in the midst of a moment. Jesus didn't even go and see the boy. His presence went before him and the miraculous happened. See, Jesus performed miracles from a distance, and God is so good in how he does that. Folks, he still does that even today. We are having a man by the name of Alex Parkinson. He's coming today, July 10th. Excuse me, next week, July 10th, to give a short teaching about healing. I'm excited about the word that the Lord has brought to this young man. I believe that Jesus will send the Holy Spirit upon that meeting that day, and that we will see healings happen. But here's the question. Are you willing to come? Are you willing to come seeking? To join us at the Debbie Celebration Barn on July 10th from 5 to 7. And again, we'll have food, we'll have worship, and a spoken word. And most of all, that I believe it will be a night of healing. It will give us a time of not only physically healings, that I believe that there will be emotionally healings. There will be healings that will be done with people that are outside of them, that they just come and said, Lord, I need spiritually healed. What a great time to have an opportune time. Yes, it's July. A lot of things are going on, without a doubt. There is not a place where you can't find a fair in some county in our great state of Iowa. But I encourage you, July 10th is going to be big. You're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be a great opportunity for you to come and to see how the Holy Spirit works and how the Holy Spirit is going to work through this young man. And I believe that the healing that he has been given inside of him will be passed through him onto other people. You're not going to want to miss it. What a great night that will be. Folks, you don't want to miss that night. I just encourage you. We're going to talk next week more about the healings that Jesus did. What an exciting time, not only in the midst of our nation and again of July the 4th, but also to the possibility of the healing of the nation in which we live. Let's pray this morning. Dear Jesus, again, we just want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for the opportunity to come before you and to praise you in all that we do. We thank you for the healings of not only over 2,000 years ago, but the healings that you do even today. We thank you, Jesus, for who that you are and that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, still works and does healings through even people today, that through the anointings of people and through prophets. We believe it by faith, and we trust you in your precious holy name. Amen. Folks, again, you don't want to miss July 10th. It's going to be a great time. I am Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.